One day there was these two parents, and they were cleaning their house, and they asked their three children to go clean their rooms because company was coming. And so they said to the children who were in the family room, go clean your rooms. But there didn't seem to be any movement in there from the children. And so they continued cleaning, and about 5 minutes later, one of the parents went in the room and stood in front of the TV and said to them in a commanding voice, go clean your rooms now! Well, then there was some movement. And they thought that all the three of them had gone to clean their rooms then. And so they went back and they cleaned. But later when the company came, it was found out that one of those kids' rooms was not clean. That was embarrassing. But they didn't want to discipline the child while the other company was there. So they waited until the company would leave. But then that was quite a while. And when the company left, it was slipping their minds, the two parents, to discipline the one who hadn't cleaned their room. So they just patted the three kids on the head and told them, go get ready for bed. And so they ran off down the hall. And they went in the kitchen and they were sitting in there and they were talking. I don't know what they were talking about because it didn't tell me in the story. And so as they were talking, one of the parents said to the other parents in a very quiet, secret voice, do you want some ice cream? And a voice from way down at the end of the hall, on the other end of the hall, said, I want some ice cream! And a little boy came running out of there, out to the kitchen. It was the same boy who hadn't cleaned his room earlier. And he was fully dressed, and you could tell he wasn't getting ready for bed either. And they asked him about that. Why didn't you clean your room before the other people, the company came? I didn't hear you tell me to. Ha ha, you're catching on. Why aren't you getting ready for bed right now? I didn't hear you say to. Apparently, this young man could hear a whisper about ice cream from many rooms away through many walls, but he couldn't hear a direct command in a loud voice right in front of him or right as he patted him on the head because he had what was called selective hearing. He only heard what he wanted to hear. And we don't want to be like that toward God. We want to learn the power of the whisper. We want to have our ears tuned so that the voice of God sounds like every time he's saying, do you want some ice cream? And even if he's saying, clean your room up, get your life together, that we would with gladness receive the message of the power of the Holy Spirit that's whispering into our life. Whether it's a assurance, a word of assurance that we love to hear, or whether it's a command that telling us there's something of conviction to be changed that needs to be adjusted to be better. That's what this 4 weeks has been about, a number of other things, but it's also been about the power of a whisper, learning to listen to the Holy Spirit of God, to God's voice, his still small voice, as he speaks to us, and not selective hearing. Now keep that illustration in your mind. Later, when we're talking about the points of this sermon, you will understand even more fully why I use that. This fourth sermon in a series of four is called Wide Open for Good. Wide Open for Good. On week one, we learned to know if a whisper was from God. And there were five things that we could ask ourselves to learn if it was a whisper from God. We could ask ourselves, God, Is this prompting truly from you? We could ask ourselves, is it scriptural? Does it line up with scripture? You know what? This thing is just shrinking. The more I preach, the more it falls. Then I have one far-sighted eye and I'll just be going preaching to you like this. And I have one near-sighted eye. And that's called monovision. And you can't golf when you have monovision. Because the ball's right, you just, don't worry about my problems. Ask yourself also, is it wise? Is the voice you think you're hearing, does it fit with conventional ideas of wisdom? Ask yourself, is it in tune with how God made me? Is it in tune with my own character? And what do people I most trust think about it? Then on week two, we looked at how God speaks into our lives. And I'm really thankful for Dan Harris. He can't be here today, but his family's out of town. But Dan preached on week two, and I heard he did an awesome job. And I'm really thankful for that. I don't know sometimes when that happens whether to think, I wish he would have bombed so people would think I was greater. But I never think that. The first thing I always think is I want the other people around me to be successful for the glory of God. And he was, so it made me really happy. It made me awesome happy. And here's what he gave us. He gave us these ideas. What? This thing isn't? Where's the clicker? It's up here? Oh, yeah, we did that one. On week two, he did this one. God speaks into our daily lives three ways. Whispers of action, that's things for us to do. I'm sure Dan covered this, but that's the promptings of the Holy Spirit that tell you when to call somebody to encourage them or when to do something that you should do an action in life. And then that would be helpful for the world to be a better place. Delivers whispers of admonition. Those are what I was referring to when God admonishes us or corrects us. He delivers whispers of assurance. And those are the good ones where he just tells us he loves us, where he told Jesus, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." On the third week, which was last week, you heard a marvelous sermon because I was here and I heard it. And we learned what practicing God's presence means. It means corralling our thoughts intentionally, meditatively, and constantly. It means communicating with God intimately and consistently and frequently. And we're just reviewing a little. So it means conforming to his word purposefully and seriously and daily. Okay, you may have noticed during those 3 weeks that much of the discussion has been about us. How do we learn to open our ears so that we can hear more clearly and consistently from God? We were asking questions like that. And how do we invite his input into our situations we're facing so that we know which way to go? And how do we lean into his wisdom so that our lives run more smoothly, more predictably, and more comfortably? Now, certainly these are worthwhile questions to answer because they represent one level of listening that all of us should strive to cultivate, which is learning to listen for what God's will is, the still small voice of God each and every day as he guides us, how he wants us to live, where he wants us to go, what he wants us to do, what needs to be corrected, everything like that. But I wonder if there isn't a deeper level of listening that's available to us in this life, a level of listening that centers not so much on the cries of our hearts, but on the cries of God's hearts, God's heart. Learning to listen to what breaks the heart of God. There's like a line in one of the contemporary songs is like, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." You remember that line, Katie? I think you've sung that song here while I was here. That's good. "Break my heart for what breaks yours." Now, today, We're learning how to make ourselves available and open, wide open, for good, so that we can be involved in what really means a lot to God. What does His heart break for? Today's topic is wide open for good. In other words, what does it look like when we open ourselves to the whispers that beckon us to, for instance, leverage our times better and use our spiritual gifts for God and make available our money for good, not just for our own lives, but in the world at large. You heard that saying, nobody achieves success alone. Did you hear that? It always takes the help of another and maybe many another's, depending on your situation. So I would tell you this, if you see a turtle on top of a post, he had some help. That you can remember. If you see a turtle on top of a post, he had some help. So if you rise to very big situations, people might look and say, there's a turtle. That person must have had some help to be in that situation, to achieve that success. So we need parents who teach us right ways to go in life and give us their wisdom. Teenagers, you still need parents. You might look all around and be ready for independence and pushing it off that great mantle that's been burdening you, but God gave you those parents for a good reason, and we need parents. And we need employers who give us a chance. We need employers who hire us. I don't know if you remember, well, what was your first job? Or what was the first person that gave you a professional chance? Where was the first opportunity? Yeah, maybe it came because a parent already worked there or had a connection, or even your mom or dad was the owner of the business. But even in that case, we need people who gave us a shot at it. We need spouses who still believe in us after years have gone by, who keep forgiving us and giving us a second chance. Same with family members, same with close friends. We need neighbors who are good neighbors, like Jesus talked about. We need a church where we can have somebody that prays for us and where we can learn about God together. We need our church. I wonder, are you still aware how it felt to be in need in the times when your needs outpaced your resources? Times when you were desperate for a little help? Times when you needed some another's to help you climb out of the darkest pits you've known? Isn't it an incredible blessing to be helped along the road in this life? And let me ask you this. Isn't it an even richer blessing to be able to be the one that helps? Amen. I went to a church that used to say amen. I mean, I went to a church where on one like that, they would say, preach on. Or they would say, you're giving it to us, Pastor. Or I had one old hippie that would say, rock on, Pastor. It's better even than getting a blessing when you needed one to be able to be, it's a richer blessing to be the one on an occasion who gets to help someone else. Think for a moment about the needs God has allowed you to meet in other people's lives. Now, let's read the scripture. It's going to be in Isaiah 58 today. Isaiah, you just pop your Bible in half. You might even be there, or it'll be just a little to the right, because you might be at the end of Psalms or starting there, but it's probably right about there. Chapter 58, and so we're going to read, it's verses 6 to 11, but we're going to read verse 10 and 11 first. We're going backwards on this one. Isaiah 58, verse 10 and 11. I'm reading this section. I am reading this section. I'm practicing because I did fifth graders this week. And first of all, I'm not sure that I am smarter than fifth graders. I would have probably flunked that TV show. They were very smart compared to anything you would give credit for to them. One reason I told them is you are very smart. And I told them, one reason you are very smart is you're learning these things and they're in your short-term memory. But they're in my long-term memory. And I can't even find my way down that chasm to get to the closet that they're stored in. No, they're in there, but I don't know where they are. That's why we're not as smart as a fifth grader. Message speaks to a fifth grader, so I'm reading it. If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Amen. Whoop! That's what I'm talking about. Now, in this scripture, actually, God was rebuking Israel, his people, the nation of, because their unrighteousness, because he wanted their obedience and their devotion to him and to what breaks his heart. He wanted them to open their ears to the plight of the poor around them. He wanted them to be a clear representation of God's mercy and love in their world. Instead of scolding them, though, it's a beautiful promise that he gives them from God. What he will do when they begin to align themselves with his heart. He will guide their steps every day of their lives. Three parts to the promise in those verses. I will guide you, he says. I will satisfy you, he says. I will strengthen you, he says. Well, then I want those three things. What do I have to do to get those three things? Well, then you have to give yourself for the things that he mentioned, the poor, the oppressed, and the hungry. And then this sun-scorched land will become like a well-watered garden. Everybody, including you, will be just happier than now. Be guided and satisfied and strengthened. When you allow God to fulfill those roles in your life, you wind up being blessed to be a blessing. You heard that one before? To others in something of a marvelous unending cycle. There are three things that will be true of you, and these we can cover pretty quickly today. The first one should come up next. When you spend yourself on behalf of others, you listen with wide open ears. I think I'm not talking to children, but I think it does us good if we just reach up and touch our ear. That's a good thing to do because it just reminds you, you have two ears and one mouth, and God gave you that way for a reason. And you will listen with wide open ears. In Zechariah 7, that prophet's just a real hard-nosed guy. That Zechariah, man, he doesn't have this kind of kindness gently put into it like Isaiah. This Zechariah, I picture him with like a mean big beard. I don't know what he looked like in real life. There's no pictures of him. No drawings. One kid said that they were drawing a picture of God, and their dad said, but nobody knows what God looks like. And she said, just wait a minute, I'm not done yet. So in Zechariah, this prophet tells them, administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Do not think evil of each other in your hearts. And then in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 7, he says, you have stopped up your ears. So now I won't make you do this, but it's like the kid that goes like this, see? You touched your ear earlier, you stopped up your ears. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. There was some news that came out last night that I didn't want to hear. Of course, you all know I went to KU. I just stick my ears in. Somebody came in the door today. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. This is serious stuff, though. These people plugged their ears to the matters that break God's heart, the matters that greatly mean a lot to God. Here's the things: to the poor, the orphan, the alien, the widow, the brokenhearted. Now then, it says many more in the Old Testament, not just in that passage of Scripture, but it also speaks about God really cares for victims, the oppressed, the captives, the hungry, the homeless, the helpless, the hopeless. Those are the things that break God's heart. Sometimes He'll whisper to a specific assignment to someone, to personally for you to step up and pay particular attention to one of those areas. So you, this week, what you should do is ask God for clear direction on which issue in this troubled world that He might ask you to help solve. Now, what does that mean? That means, okay, if He tells you, you should visit the people in jail. You should care about human trafficking. Does that mean, oh, okay, I got a sign off on all the other stuff. I'm not on the team for the poor. God put me on the team for the human trafficking, so I don't have to give for the poor. And that's not what that means. That's not what that means. You still care about all the things God cares about, but you've been put on a specific assignment that He put on your heart, that He gave to you to champion. And then that's what you do. You champion that cause. This is what people do who have decided to spend themselves on behalf of others. They listen to see what God tells them that He wants them personally to be involved in. Because you see, you can make a big difference in one issue, and you can still care about all the other issues and give for them or do things for them. Or you can make no difference by just not targeting anything that the Holy Spirit had something that He made you to be the voice for. Be the one for. You see, if one person in our church is saying a certain issue, then we all pay attention for a while. And another person says, and overall, as everyone does what the Holy Spirit led them to be interested in, all of it gets done. We mobilize for all these things that break God's heart, and we're all helping in the whole cause. So here's how you listen with wide open ears. You come before God weekly or even daily or even moment by moment basis. And here's four questions you can ask. This is good listening for God's voice. What does He want you to be involved in? Is there a need I can meet? That's number one. So you look around and you say, is there a need I can meet? That's something I have a background in, or I have resources that could help with that. I have skills. Is there someone I can encourage? That's number two. Good listening for being wide open for good and spending yourself on behalf of others. A second thing you ask is there someone I can encourage? So this week, you go out. As the week goes along, you ask yourself the four questions. And each day, maybe each moment, I challenge you, you ask, is there someone I can encourage? I think I'm getting better at this. I think, like, if you meet me, you're probably more encouraged 10 minutes after I walked away than you are before. Because that's what one thing God has given to me is to always be asking this one question. Is there someone here who just needs a little help, a little uplift, a little encouragement? You know sentences that are like that. You can do it. That's a sentence. Encourage them. I believe in you. You learn all those sentences and you start using them, whipping them out on other people. And you watch how they bloom. How it happens. The third question. Should I get involved in a particular effort? Should I get involved in a particular effort? Visiting the sick. Maybe you have a certain personality that God wants you to do of various different things, a particular effort that you have to ask the question of God and listen for the answer. And the fourth question, are there any problems that I could help solve? Some might not be that big. I don't think it was that hard for me to clean a window. It was even a little easier than those who were trying to spray all the bugs out of the screens. It was a lot easier than some who were building and mechanically fixing things. But is there a problem that you could help solve? Okay, that's good. Austin Gutwine was only 15 years old. When he was a 15-year-old, he saw a video about orphaned children in Africa who had lost their parents to AIDS. And he learned that 2,057 children are orphaned in Africa every year because of they lost their parents to AIDS. And so he decided that on World AIDS Day, December 1st, that he would shoot 2,057 free throws. And he started what he called Hoops for Hope. And maybe some of you have heard of it. It's been around for about a decade now. He's a young adult. And in that first year with sponsors, he raised $3,000, and through World Vision, they helped provide for and provide education and housing and arrangements for 8 orphaned children in Africa. One kid, 15 years old, who asked himself these questions, he didn't know he was, but who sensed what God wanted him to do and shot the free throws. I don't know how many he made, but because of it and the money he raised, now there are hundreds of people who do Hoops for Hope on December 1st, and there have been over $2 million raised, and they've created buildings and organizations and all kinds of things that have helped hundreds and hundreds of orphaned children in Africa. You go, Austin. You're 15, but you made a difference for God. Get alone with God this week and say, Lord, I'm ready. Rock my world. Show me where to invest myself, and I will follow you all of the way. Second, when you spend yourself on behalf of others, you give with wide open hands. You listen with wide open ears. They're not stopped up. And you give with open wide open hands. Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7. Now we're going back to the start of this scripture, and we're reading a couple more verses. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed people free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. God was basically criticizing the Israelites for maintaining their religious ritual of fasting while turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to the needs of those that were right in their own midst. He didn't want useless rituals. Fasting isn't useless totally, but when it's offered when they're not living the life, then he wanted them to live out their faith first and foremost. There were two key verbs. In that sentence that he said, share and provide. Share and provide. Those are two action words, verbs, that show that you have wide open hands. when you spend yourself on behalf of others, you give with wide open hands. Nothing you possess truly belongs to you anyway. You are simply a steward of all that God has entrusted to you. What is it that you really think means a lot to you today? You're clinging to my motorcycle, my house, my groceries, my nest egg, my brand new jacket, my car, my technology. Don't touch my technology. Give it all to God. Give it all to God. And make sure that anything is available to His whisper. If He says to pass the blessings on, to share with others, or to provide for others. You cannot outgive God. Spend yourself on behalf of others. Give with wide open hands. Wait, that's just one hand. Huh. That's more. That's twice as much. You will never regret that choice. Third, did you notice how fast I did second compared to first? Maybe if I can just do third as fast as I did second, we'll be done pretty soon here. Third, when you spend yourself on behalf of others, you serve with a wide open heart. Okay, I got my ears, I got my hands involved, I got my heart involved. I was in there visiting yesterday morning, Linda Wessels. I said, Linda, I have to come visit you this morning. It's very important. You had heart surgery yesterday, and I have to stall off going to the workday. You're my excuse. So you just talk to me a good while here. I'm expecting you to visit with me and want me to read scripture and pray with you, and so I can serve you with a wide open heart and use you for an illustration tomorrow and get out of half the work over there at the work day that they're doing right now. Not all of that happened quite that way. But in the process of interviewing Linda, who had 5 bypass surgery on Friday morning, God helped her. She said this sentence, "It's like I've been given a second chance on life." It's like I've been given a second chance on life. If you were Linda, if you were Larry right back there, he's had a heart transplant, you would know. It's not just like it. It is it. And that's what God has done for you. He's given you a real life. And a second chance on life. Don't waste it on stuff that isn't eternal. Spend it for others and spend it for God. There's no better way to go. I can testify to you for that. Do in your heart, let God transform a little something that's going on inside of you as the preacher's preaching this morning. The Holy Spirit's working. He's working right there in your heart, in your mind. And He's saying something. He's saying, give it all, give it all, give it all to Jesus. Give it all to Jesus and serve Him with a wide... There's one of our general superintendents now retired. His name's Jim Deal. Back when $50 was a lot of money, he took a $50 bill. He put it in the side corner of his wallet, not back there where the money really is. Put it where his stash is, wherever that is. I wouldn't know. And he said, God, this is your $50. When you whisper to me, I will take it out and give it to whoever needs it. This is your $50. And he did this, and he began to find out, here was somebody that had car problems. Here's $50. And that very week, he'd get a speaking engagement, and they'd pay him $50. And he'd say, well, God, there's that $50 back. I tried to get rid of that. And he'd stick it in there where his stash goes. I sure wish I had one. Then a $50 bill would be good for anybody still. I mean, that would help you right now. And then he would run into somebody. Oh, that family didn't have enough groceries for the week. Oh, here, no problem. Here's $50. And then before you know it, he'd have a birthday that week and somebody'd send him in the mail a birthday card and in it would be a $50 bill. He'd say, God, how do you do that? I mean, couldn't they give me 100 so I could keep 50? He didn't say that. He's a good, that's why he's general superintendent. I'm not. Then he'd stick that 50 back in there. And this went on and on, and he's been doing that for 25 years. I just wanted to ask him, are you ready to pop it up to 100? I mean, God's really blessed him in all kinds of other ways, but he still just does the $50. And every time the Spirit whispers to him, he pulls it out. You could do that with 20 or 10. You could do that with any denomination. You could do that in your little purse. You put it aside. That's God's $20 bill. And when he says, when you hear the whisper, you do it and you watch what he does. And he just keeps giving and giving. Okay, musicians, this is the conclusion. I'm going to jump right to the final prayer here. So they wanted to know when to come up. I'm cutting this sermon off right there. There, Connie wasn't there to give me her signals, so I'm apologizing. Last week, when I went a little past my limit, she didn't give me the signal, and I said to her afterwards, and she said, because I thought you should say all that. I said, what? You're the people's representative. They don't really want to hear that much talking, that much preaching. And she said, well, then I guess you'd have to say I did. I said, wow, honey, you've never said that before. She never ever wanted to hear me talk more. It's the truth of our relationship. She's the one who doesn't talk, and I'm the one who talks all the time. You never would have guessed that, would you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the past 4 weeks, during which hopefully our eyes, our hearts, and our ears have been open to your presence, your power, your profound input into our lives. We are grateful that you are willing to direct our every step toward your good and perfect will for our lives. Now we pray, may we have new vision to see the needs in the world around us. May we have new hearing to be aware of the promptings you're ready to provide. May we have newfound courage to obey you at every turn. We want the whisper-led life. We really do. May we be whisper-led people starting today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.